Hey yo, welcome to another edition of the Streamcast. I am Blackamora, but you already know that. But what you don't know is that I've got a very special guest on this episode coming all the way from PlayStation. We've got a big guest. Please join me in welcoming Leanne. There
Thank you. What a lovely welcome. Thank you.
All right. Yeah, of course. Thank you for coming on. How are you doing?
Not too bad, thank you. Thank you very much for having me on this fine Friday afternoon.
Yeah. On this lovely warm day, as you could tell from our hoodies.
Cozying on down.
So for anyone who doesn't know who you are, what you do, would you like to give a quick rundown of who you are?
Yes, of course. So I'm Leanne. I'm a, well, my new role, I'm a first-time mother
Oh.
to my baby girl Parker. I am an executive assistant over at PlayStation. I work within the marketing department and also the HR department, so I have a nice spread there. And I am also face of owner forefront of Gingerly on the old Instagram.
Yes, Gingerly. I remember that time we you jumped on to do a I think Team Sonic Racing stream,
Oh
which
yeah, that
was
was fun. That
it was a lot of
was really
fun.
fun.
I find half of the fun with streaming is whether or not the stream is actually going to work. And tech issues were a plenty, but it was very fun to have your voice blurting through to the people. It was a lot of fun, that game was actually,
Really enjoyed it, yeah.
yeah.
You've just brought it back to my attention. I feel like when I find time, I need to have a go again. It is a good one.
Yes, very much so. That is a very cheeky plug as well to try and get you on the stream again because it was a lot of fun. But yeah, of course, you're a very busy person, very important person. Of course, you're working for, in my mind, one of the big three. So of course, you must be very hands-on with the games as well. Of course, Team Sonic Racing we've just talked about, but do you remember your first ever game and console?
Yes, I do. And you may not, but oh, you may know of it. That's unfair. My first, it wasn't my console, so I played on the Commodore 64, which belonged to my dad. And the first game I played was called Train Robbery, an extremely frustrating game. And it was like a side runner. I had to run along the side of a train. You have to jump on the train. Well, you're on a horse first. You've got to catch up with the train, jump off the train, onto the train, sorry. And then there's a tunnel. There's always a tunnel. And you've got to duck just in time. And I was obviously really young at the time, and I just could never do it. I could never get the timing right, so I couldn't tell you what happens after the tunnel. But I have fond memories of trying that repeatedly. My first console was a Sega Mega
Lovely.
Drive. Yeah. And I used to play Sensible Soccer on that quite often with my brother, which was good.
How often would you win those matches?
Do you know what? I think I was quite good, but it was have you ever played it?
No, I've not. I just said
It's
soccer, so I was like, okay.
A far cry from FIFA, I tell you that. But you could name the players and you could like name the teams. And I just remember we'd like created our school teams and our local friends teams. But I just remember whenever it was like raining, if you went to tackle, your player would literally go all the way across the screen. So we would just be tackling. I'm sure there are videos on YouTube of it. It's a little bit ridiculous, but I think I won quite a lot.
Oh, good, good. I
Yeah.
like that. Healthy sibling rivalries. Also, I do want that game brought back because I just want the possibility to just slide onto, like, I don't know if you've seen those memes on YouTube where someone
Yeah.
slides and then they're into space. I want that
That's what it reminds me of. That's definitely what it reminds me of. Yeah,
in
have a look. We'll see if I can find it.
a game. And I have heard of the Commodore 64. I've not been able to play it, which is unfortunate. I want to be able to own a gaming museum where like all of the consoles are kept and people can play on them, and I will keep them all. That's what that
That
is my
sounds like a
massive plan.
possibility.
Yeah. I need to just pitch it to the
I love the
right person.
idea. I can back you on it. It sounds great.
There we go. One backer already. Let's go. So, very fond memories, and I love asking these questions because they are never gonna get the same answers from two people. And that's the uniqueness of the individual behind the games. But from your first games, what about your favorite games? Do you have a top five?
Oof. Over time. I loved playing Super Mario Galaxy. Was it Galaxy? Galaxy Super Mario. I played hours of that. That was on my brother's console as well, actually. I used to go in his room and play that endlessly. Mario Kart on the Wii. I got really good at that. I remember like smashing gold, doing the mirror courses, completed all of them, Rainbow Road, loved it. They were really fun. They're like fond memory ones. And then favorite games, I guess coming to date and working where I work, getting to play on these awesome games and how obviously graphics and stories and everything has improved. I say it, obviously it's improved over time, but just it's got better. I love Horizon Zero Dawn. Do like to think that Aloy was based on me, not this new mum me, like the better looking, decent hair sort of Leanne.
Just as good looking.
Stop it. A favorite game, but just still not getting good at it is Fortnite. Keep plugging away. I do keep getting my wins, but I would be embarrassed to stream because I'm just not that good. That's only four games, isn't it? There's just so many that I dabble with. I think, oh, and Spider-Man, though, I absolutely love Spider-Man.
That's one of my like favorite games of all time. I love it.
It's incredible, isn't it? I
So
cannot wait for the next installment. I'm just
I'm
like
so ready.
buzzing for that. Yeah.
I'm so ready for it. And they've also got Wolverine just bubbling on in the corner. So I'm like, what's
Intrigued.
going on?
Yeah.
If they put that much focus into Wolverine, potential game of the year.
Yeah, we're in for a treat. I hope. I'm the same. I feel the same. But yeah, Spider-Man. I was so engrossed in it, like I couldn't wait to play, and I'd just play for hours. And it's one that you just swing about the city for a bit. Like, how do you, when do you get to do that? How fun is
Right? I legit did that after the first mission. I was like, okay, we've done the boring stuff. Now I'm gonna
that?
swing. Never gonna take the train.
Yeah, why would you do that?
Yeah, I don't want to touch
And all the
the
tricks you
ground.
can do.
Yes. When I realized there was a trophy for doing all of the like four of the swings in one rotation or in one before touching the ground, I was like, I'm going to get this, and it took me a couple hours, but that was the highlight for me.
And it's a great one. It is fun. It is fun. Imagine that in VR.
See, now that's gonna be amazing. But I wonder whether people will get a lot of motion sickness, because I know in Iron Man VR, I played it for a little bit and I enjoyed it, but I do remember feeling, hold on, my brain is having issues because I'm flying, but I'm not really flying. So I'm not sure about that. I feel like that's ahead of its time, definitely.
I think the
And I want to
idea of
try
it is amazing, but
it.
yes, I tried Iron Man and not for me. I tried it at EGX actually, and it threw me off for the rest of my day. I felt awful. I only played it
Oh
for about 5 minutes. It was hideous. Oh, it was awful. Awful, awful,
hideous.
awful. Yeah, it was. Just the motion sickness, not the game itself.
Oh,
Never play
fantastic game.
that, but not for me. It didn't work with my brain at all.
Yeah, I think that's the one obstacle that VR has to overcome. How and is there a way to overcome that? Because it is, I mean, that is the concept, right? Immersing you in that world, you are Iron Man in that scenario.
It's a tricky
I'm sure
one.
th yeah, I'm sure there is. We just haven't thought of it yet. If anyone can do it, it's got to be PlayStation, right? I'm sure they'll come up with something to make it work, or maybe it's just VR works for more grounded games. But
Yeah.
yeah.
I think it's different for different people as well, though, across. I've had conversations where people have had motion sickness from games I haven't, and vice versa. So, yeah, who knows? We shall see. It's all in the making.
Plus, there's gonna be those people who don't get any motion sickness at all, and I'm like, yeah, let's do it. We'll do barrel rolls and all of that stuff.
Yeah, they'll be all
So,
over it.
different folks, different strokes for different folks. But yeah, very strong top five. There's a big elephant in the room. How did you get to working for PlayStation? You've got my dream job. You've got a lot of people's dream jobs out there. How did you do it?
So little back run and probably a little eye opener, or maybe people will learn or not, who shouldn't know this, but I basically lied my way into my current role, not at PlayStation, but as an executive assistant. Just in as much as I'd never actually done it before, but managed to wangle my way into doing it. I'm from the north, from Yorkshire. I went travelling for like a year and then decided that I just wanted bigger and better. And I wanted to move to London. I wanted to work in a company that had revolving doors and the swipe card to get in and had like all themed stuff everywhere. That was my dream. And I actually went to work at, I had an interview at Global Radio, but I didn't get it. And I was mortified because I didn't have any media experience. Anyway, managed to wangle my way into The Guardian. And then I got media on my CV. And a role came up at PlayStation UK, which is, I work for Europe, and UK is a territory of Europe. So I went to go there. I didn't get the job, and I was just so upset. I was really gutted, and I was like, didn't even realize that this would be another dream job for me. And it never just didn't occur to me that I could combine this role with my gaming life. Like, why didn't I think of it? Anyway, another role came up shortly afterwards, and I just plugged for it. I just pushed my way in. I re reminded them of the interview I did before. I chased for feedback the first time, like they remembered who I was. So I kind of didn't give them a choice. They had to see me again. But I had a maternity. I was a maternity cover, so it was only a temporary role. And I just threw myself into it. I did everything I could to make a name for myself, meet as many people as I could. And then, literally, in my last week, I'd already arranged my drinks to leave. And I had an email from somebody in the marketing department and said, "Can I talk to you about a role?" And I was like, "Yes, please do." And it was like a Craig David song. I had an interview on a Monday. We had a re-interview on a Tuesday. On Wednesday, I got to think about it. On Thursday, I got offered the role, and Friday, I accepted. And it was just as lovely as that. And then 6 years later, I'm still here.
Damn. Well, congrats. I know that the message that you do want everyone listening and watching to know is that you should lie to get the job that you want.
Don't lie to get the job that you want, but you can manipulate ways of how you have worked previously to work into a role that you could go for. I think the message is, if there's something that you want, just go for it. There's nothing stopping you. If the worst thing they can do is say no. So if you don't try, you're not gonna get there, are you? So I think I've been quite lucky. But I fought to get here, and obviously I was asked to stay. Some another department had heard about what I do and how good I am and wanted me to stay. So yeah, now I feel, you know, privileged and want to just get stuck in with everything. I'm all over it. I love my job.
Oh, that's good. I'm very happy to hear that. I dream for a day where the majority of people can say they love their job. And yeah, you got a very elite CV, I would say, with, you know, The Guardian on there. How many people can say that they've worked for The Guardian? That's pretty cool.
It's all right. It's all right. It helped me.
It was just a stepping stone.
It was for me, yeah.
But 6 years and counting, that's a lot. You tend to hear a lot of stories about how people will stay for like 2 years, 3 years if they really like the place and then bounce. Of course, this is a unique company that you're working for, so yeah, it goes without saying why you're there for so long. It's, you know, giving you everything that you want in work, I assume. Yeah, we can talk about how we actually met, because this was an event that I believe you coordinated.
Mm-hmm.
At Four Quarters.
Yeah.
Shout out them, man, in Peckham. What a lovely place. And yeah, that was a really fun event. We played a bunch of games on the, I want to say Sega Mega Drive, mm-hmm. on the PS2 and the GameCube. I particularly remember playing Streets of Rage 2. I was playing a skate and I was like, oh my god, I love this franchise. I know 4 is coming out. I love this game. I want Streets of Rage 2. And I remember playing Here Comes the Pain. How was it organizing this event? And do you have any memories of the event?
Oh yeah, it was really fun. It was, I think I had hoped for like thousands of people to want to come along. My reach is very small, but it was the perfect amount of people, if not too many, because it was really warm up there, wasn't it? Do you remember?
Yeah.
Very warm. So they gave us their upstairs room, which was cozy, but it was nice because we had our own space. There's a group of people I'd been speaking to for a really long time on Instagram. I started using the hashtag PlayStation Massive, and they became a part of the PlayStation Massive, but anybody is part of that, obviously. And I said, I'd like to see people in real life. It'd be really cool if we could just set it up. And as an assistant, I do events at work all the time. So coordinating, reaching out, sharing the invite, this is all stuff I do. Locating a place that would have us there for free was, it was okay actually, and they were really good, and the Four Quarters is perfect for us because there's a place to socialize and a place to game, and it's what we all like to do, so that was great. And then I also managed to get prizes from companies who donated, and I also did actually fund a few of them myself, but it was just a case of I just wanted people to come and have a good time, and everyone went away with something. So I don't remember specifically what you took or won. Can you remember? There was a couple of... Do you have a hat?
It might have been a hat. I can't remember.
It was really nice to have... It was a while ago, but it was just... It's nice to meet people that you chat to online, face-to-face. But yeah, I just had a good time meeting you all, and really appreciate you coming along. And obviously we still chat, and we've chatted on Insta a few times, and obviously we've hung out on streaming and gaming. So that's what I love about it. And that was a fun event. But like you said, it was so long ago now.
Overdue another one.
I'd love to, but it's finding time for me currently.
Yeah.
I will, as soon as I'm back and up and running, I'd love to do it again for sure.
Excellent. Yeah, I had a great time as well. I know that Troy and Isaac really enjoyed their time there too. It was so unique in that it was a pitch perfect event for us. It was something for gamers to actually get out of the house and hang out with other gamers and just chat.
Yeah,
we're all big PlayStation players as well. So massive, you know, what's the term? When, you know, there's a lot in common already. So there's a lot, you know, icebreakers of just, you know, which of the exclusive big titles is your favorite, and then going off from there. Lots of nice personalities there. It was really cool. And I'd definitely be up for another one. I think that's, I'd love to see that more regularly.
It would be good.
Yeah, I know that there's limitations to you now because your life has changed massively since then. Because you are a fantastic member of the PlayStation family, but you've also started your own family.
Yeah,
with a beautiful child.
Lovely segue.
I should be paid for this. Yes, talk to me. Two-pronged question.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me about how your life personally has changed since becoming a mother, and mm-hmm. how you as a gamer have changed since having your child. How have your habits changed, etc.?
My life has changed dramatically. I think for us, the timing was all just really tricky. COVID happened. We were trying to start a family. So for the viewers, I am in a same-sex relationship, so our fertility journey wasn't particularly easy. We had started with IVF, and so this all happened, and then COVID struck. So it was a case of, you know, trying to get to the clinic, trying to get all the appointments, and still living in this really bizarre time of life that we've all faced, we've all been through. So, you know, we weren't seeing people. We live, like I said, my family's up north. My wife's family's in Suffolk, so we were just away from everybody. And then we were successful, we got pregnant, and then I think when I can't even remember when we came out of the pandemic, because I just feel like I've been off work, not seeing people, trapped in my house. So being pregnant, I was gaming quite a bit. That was all fine and good. Sorry, that's starting the second prong already. When I gave birth, COVID had kind of struck again in December 21. Yeah. So we got COVID when we came out of hospital. So we were like new baby and then both with COVID, which was just horrendous. And so not seeing anyone again. And then since then, you know, we have this incredible little girl who is super inquisitive. She's really cheeky. She's a lot of fun. And we've moved to Hertfordshire. We've got a little house here. Our life is just, it's just from being two young people who go out drinking, socializing, eating whenever you want, to scheduling around this little person. It's wild. It's a game changer. But it's fantastic. And we feel very blessed with her. We're very lucky. She's a good one. We are lucky. As far as the gaming is concerned, it's really tricky. I don't game as often as I would like. I think because of our circumstances and what we go through, I feel like I want, my family time is really special, and so actually my gaming's just gone to the side. So I have, you know, I have my PS5, I get all of the exclusive games from work, and I'm just not able to play them. So I couldn't wait for Horizon, and I've probably put about 12 hours into it, which is shameful. But those 12 hours were incredible. Like, it looks stunning. And being back at work means I'm able to see everything. Working in the marketing department means I get to have insight into what's going on, what's coming up. And so it still gives me the buzz, or it's brought the buzz back for me. So now I just need to find a balance, find the time, create time, carve out time to game now. I used to game Monday night weekly with some friends on Fortnite, and we've not done it for such a long time, and it's really sad. It's really sad. So yeah, it's tricky, but it's not gone. But what I have now is just, you know, I have a family, and Parker comes first for now. So she has her own controller, and I say her own one. It's not one of these ones. She does actually have one of the toy ones because someone did buy it for her, but she's nicked one of my Jewel Shocks. So she has her own controller. She's already showing interest. Every time I've got the PS5 on, she loves my headphones. I have some exclusive Pride ones that were an internal creation. So she loves those. She always tries to pull them off. So yeah, it's definitely something. It's time I need to carve out when she's not around. So yeah, my gaming is through everyone else, unfortunately, for now.
That's so sick. I'm very happy to hear that she's just claimed the controller for herself.
Yeah, she knows what she wants.
Yeah, the dynamic. You know, the kids run the risk, you know?
Yeah.
Are there any games that you have a new appreciation for because of Parker?
In what sense?
So either the games that you were indifferent about before, and now because maybe she likes the colors or she likes a certain character, you've been able to enjoy a game that you wouldn't have before. Or are there games that you will have her around to play with because she is, you know, particularly fascinated by some aspect of the game?
I really love that question. I wish I had a better answer. But actually, asking me the question makes me think that, I mean, she is fascinated when I, Fortnite again, when I have played Fortnite and she's around, she is like transfixed by it, and the colours are quite vibrant on there. And obviously it's quite fast paced, but it has now made me think that she'd probably really enjoy Sackboy, which Tara and I used to play through all of like lockdown, or because it's, have you played Sackboy?
I've played it, yeah.
The new one on PS5.
Oh, not the new one.
It's really good. It's really good. It's a really fun multiplayer game. And it's, the coordination with the music is so spot on. You need to have a look at some videos, or I'll send you some links, but it's just fantastic. But actually, I think she'd really enjoyed that. So that question has inspired me to try play that with her or around her. Thank you.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. Yeah, because of course, you know, your time isn't as free anymore, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you can't enjoy your passions still. Yeah. Maybe it changes, maybe, you know, you have to be a bit more strategic, but yeah, I feel like you're not just a mother, and you're not just, you know, you are your own person, and there's many different aspects to you. So
yeah, 100%. No, it's a good shout. It's funny, actually, now it makes me think of what kind of games are out there that could be helpful to her, or I can have a look if there's any like learning games, because I know they did a controller that was for small hands previously, but I don't think they do it yet. Or now, not for the PS5, not for her tiny, tiny hands, but when they're a little bit bigger. You've got my brain going now.
That's what I like to hear.
Yeah.
All right. So we'll shift the focus onto representation now, because you have said how you see yourself in Aloy, or let's be real. We're pretty sure that Aloy was based on you, so you should be getting some royalties. yeah. when it comes to womanhood and motherhood, how do you feel that's been portrayed in games? Do you feel they've done a good job recently? And if you don't think that's the case, what would you like to see over the next few years, many years, from studios to do a better job of telling the story of women, of mothers, because we see it all the time with men and with fatherhood, whether in a positive or negative light. Fatherhood is almost a central part of many franchises and many games. How do you see that relationship when it comes to motherhood and women?
I think that the women in the gaming industry in characters is becoming more and more to the forefront, which I think is excellent. It's definitely being looked at. And when you're talking about motherhood, I actually think, yes, because I am a mother, I would be looking at that, but it's about different families, different family relationships. And that is being represented quite well across. You have different variations, don't you? You have, we've got Ratchet and Clank, like that kind of relationship. We've got relationship in The Last of Us, which is very different. We've got in God of War, father and son, obviously. We've got just blended families is what I'm trying to point at. There's so many different ones. I think from the studios that we work with, and I am not speaking from PlayStation, I'm speaking from me, I just need to make that clear. It is being discussed, and these are all points that are being worked on. I know that progress is being made. There aren't many mothers that I can think of in games, particularly. But the stories are becoming more dynamic. There's more to play with. There are, you know, loads of studios working on all kinds of different things. I'm sure there's much to come. There is stuff that we're going to see that will hopefully open people's minds and make people feel that they are being seen more.
Yeah,
I think it's happening. You're right, though. It's not to bring it up and ask me. There isn't much for me to see me in other than Aloy. She's not a mother. So, you know, we've changed now. We are quite different. But if you were to have me now as a character, I'd be quite boring. And that's not fun for anyone. So a mother would be an interesting character. And I'm not sure where a mother would fit into a story. So I can understand why there's maybe not much representation. But it would be nice to see.
Yeah, I agree. I think that you've actually made a very good point in terms of families being a relationship with a lot of focus in games. And maybe that's a discussion for another episode. But I do think that now things are being done about it, and maybe it's because of the era that we're in as a society. More efforts being made. We're seeing Aloy, which is a fantastic, I would say the quintessential, you know, example of a woman in gaming, how she's not overly sexual. She's not made to feel secondary. Like, she has a ideal, she has her stance, and whether you agree or disagree, you know who she is, you know what she's about. Similarly, Ellie in The Last of Us, I didn't necessarily agree with all of her decisions in the second game, but I loved that she was her own person, and it wasn't, you know, fawning over whoever for the entire game. It was, she has her own thing to do. It's her story. Layla in Redfall is an upcoming example that I'm very excited to see where her story goes. You have Juliana, who's the antagonist of Deathloop. But yeah, I still need to play that game.
Me too.
There are a few examples now, which is making me happy. I think the change in front of the screen has to be replicated by what's going on behind the screen. You know, the writers' rooms, the directors, producers. We need to see more women lead games, because then you get 3D characters. You don't get half-assed tax write-offs, you know, excuses for games. You get fully fleshed characters.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, to answer my own question about motherhood, I don't think a good job's been done at all. because you look at franchises like you named God of War, you look at Tekken, in almost everywhere that, you know, men are the main characters of, there is some sort of relationship, whether good or bad, between the person and their father. But we're not seeing that in mothers so much. I think there are mothers in games at quite a high rate, but I don't think motherhood is the focus of their story. It's mm-hmm. almost secondary or supplementary.
And
I think the relationship a person has with their mother is the most important one that they're going to have in real life. So I don't see why that's not replicated in games, and I hope that changes.
Me too. It's interesting you're bringing up about the women being behind the scenes and doing all the directing and producing, etc. I am in a privileged position working where I work, but I'm part of the, we have various groups at work, and I am part of a gaming network and also Women at PlayStation. And I did an interview with the women who work at Media Molecule, and we were talking about Dreams. And it's really good to have these conversations. So we have conversations with devs, and there was one that I watched that they did about Horizon, which I missed, which was really good. They did one about God of War. So they talk to these women, and we have these conversations, and they are shared across the company, which I think is really helpful and really useful. And it's great to hear their side and to show off their skills and their thoughts on what you're asking right now. So these things are happening. They are being worked on. So I don't think it will be too long till we see more of it. But it's an interesting point, isn't it? The mothers.
Yeah.
We are important. Our mothers are very important. They shape us. But yeah, I guess we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yes, we shall see. And I know that you have to wrap up because you're a very busy person working a massive employer. So I will call an end to the podcast here, but please let the people know where they can follow you, where they can keep up to date with you.
You can find me on Instagram on ginger_Lee. Come and say hello, and thank you for watching. Thank you so much for having me. It's been great. It's been great.
Don't forget that second_. It got me the first time.
Who took the first one_? How dare you?
The first Ginger Lee has a lot to answer for.
You better be using your account more than me.
Excellent. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people who are going to follow you and want to know more about you because you've got a pretty cool story. And you're a pretty cool person.
Oh, thank you. You're not too bad yourself.
I try. thank you for agreeing to come on the podcast. I greatly appreciate it. You've been a great guest.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
Yeah. If you want to keep up to date with the Streamcast, though, you can follow us at Streamcast_ on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. And you can go to our website, thestreamcast.co.uk, for anything else you want to find out about us, whether it's live streams, podcasts, blogs, videos, our next event, or anything of that ilk. But until the next time, please take care of yourselves and your loved ones. Stay safe. We'll see you on the next Streamcast.